Okay, today's daf we're going to be learning is daf Yud Zayin. And last year we saw the kind of the debate between Rabbah and sorry, they were arguing on it. Shmuel, we'll get to it in a minute. Shmuel was like Rabbah, and that was if someone writes in a location where they would write a shtar, is kesef alone enough to be koneh? That was a debate. Okay. And we saw that we saw the Shmuel was like Rabbah towards the end of the previous year. For example, and that wasn't the case where someone writes a ktav matana belashon kniyah. He wanted to give his friend a gift, and he writes a shtar of an acquisition. And we saw that there was a debate. So Shmuel asked, it was Rav Huna, and he said, "What's the din in that situation?" And Rav Huna said that actually it was what you've done in that situation, you've tried to give him the benefit of both a gift and acquisition, so the legal benefits of both, and therefore it works. However, Shmuel's lo kibla, Shmuel said that's not the case, I do not agree, meaning since you intended to write a shtar for this matana, and the shtar is not a match, nothing works. And that works very nicely. In other words, that means of acquisition, its intention is in your, for example, in the location where there has to be shtar, an appropriate shtar has to be written for the acquisition to be completed. For example, even despite the fact you've handed over money, that fits in with Rav Bah. Okay, that was a matana, his acquisition. So now we say, actually, the second thing we said to finish it off was actually Rav Huna, which we've seen is a Bab Plukta, really with Shmuel here. He's like Rav Yochanan. Why? As it, I guess it's Rav Huna is Rav Yochanan. Chad Bar Nash, Midamech, he was on his deathbed. Amar Yitten Kona Chasai Laploni. He says, "I want to give all my property so and so." Chazavra Ma Kitvu Utnu. Actually, I want you to write it down in a contract. So Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon Bar Yakim says, "Alan Uvda Kamerio came before Rav Yochanan, who's the person of interest in our case." Amar, he says, "Im Amar Lizchuto Divrei Kol Zacha." Now, unfortunately, this individual didn't have a chance to write it before he died. Okay, so the Gemara says if his intention was to give the person extra benefit by having it contractually also bound, then we say, well, it's fine because he was just trying to mosif, add on to the matana, if you like, and therefore it's absolutely fine, meaning we don't need to worry about it because the matana already worked. So this is very nice. This is exactly like the position of so Rav Huna, and which is also sort of your, really Rav Yonah and Rav Yossi as well, that that's. Fold it all the way back to the beginning, then in a location, even if they write contracts, even after a monetary, like handing over cash, the cash alone would complete the sale. Because the contract is just to mosif koach, to add an extra, if you like, financial strength or benefit. So in this situation, we see that it aligns again with Rav Huna as well, in a situation where he said someone who wanted to give his friend a matana and also a shtar over the top of it, which is a shtar of kinyan, of the lashon of acquisition. It doesn't compromise the matana at all. It's just trying to mosif koach, like add an extra legal force. So, however, im lizchuto bichtav, if however the intention from the beginning was to actually only make it contractually bound, kol ha'mamor, everyone agrees she'en zocheh bichtav lachar mita, that if the person died before the contract was written, then it wouldn't have then you can't, it's too late because you can't write the person shtar for someone who's dead. Okay, so the Gemara says umimodia. How do we know what was in the mind of this individual who was on his deathbed? So the Gemara says, so this is still working with this sugya, says, how do we know what was in his mind? Tiftashu edim yodim. Let's say there were witnesses there that clarified what the intent was. Well, what happens in a situation where there are no witnesses? We don't know what was going on in the man's head. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yossi lo'olam ha'sadeh b'cheska baleiha. There would be a chazaka, meaning it would actually be. Who has a chazaka on this property? Who has assumed ownership on the property of the person who passed away? That's the heirs. So it'll belong to the heirs until we can clarify what the person's intent was, the person who on his deathbed trying to give away this property. And we say, therefore, hamotzi mechavro ala baraya. They'd have to somehow prove it. And if you can't prove it, well, it'll go to the Yorshim. Okay, and the Gemara now says, minay lecha nasim she'en lehem achriyot she'en niknim im nechasim she'esh lehem achriyot. How do we know we have this concept of kinyan agar? That you can also purchase movable objects along with property through kesef shtar and chazaka, through the means of acquisition for a kesef shtar and chazaka, which is money, contract, or demonstrating his ownership, chazaka. So Mara says, Rav Yossi bar Shabbat Chizkiya says, the Rav Yonah, Rav Chananya, Tarteu said b'shem Chizkiya, Ktiv, it says in the Pasuk, this Pasuk referring to the sons of Yehoshaphat, it says that, Vayiten laim, he gave them Avihem, matanot rabot, many gifts, le kesef zahav, ulemigdanot, karka, umatzat, sorry, I missed a bit, Migdanot im arei mitzurot biyuda. All those movable objects came along with karka that he was giving them. So you could say it was seemed to be a kinyan agav. So ad kadun kashul karka matadlin pamong achad. Okay, maybe that's only talking about where the property was in the same, that all that movable object was on the land that was being gifted or sold. Who says it works for property that's actually not the movable objects that not on that physical land? Which is what we were trying to we mentioned yes last year. So Amar Abum Bar Chia Nishmini Maragumi for the following. Amar Lahem Rabbi Laza Maisa Bmaroni Echad person from Maron. Shahaya Darvish he lived in Yerushalayim. Bayu Mital Klin Harbei lots had lots of movable objects. Ubi Kesh Lachalka and he wanted to divide it amongst his various people. He wanted to distribute his assets while he was alive. So Amr, by the way, he's on his deathbed. So he didn't want to fall back. He wanted to go by the law, normal laws of Yerusha. He wanted to distribute his assets differently. But so he couldn't do that while he's alive. Amrullah, they said to him, En tayachol, well, you can't gift over all your movable objects. You have to do a kinyan. So how are you going to do that? Ella im ken kanita karka. But what you can do what's called a kinyan agav. If you have land and you gift some of that land to somebody and then all the movable objects and go come with it. So Ma'asa, what did he do? Halach the kanasela echad. He bought one rock. Now, importantly, the Korban Eder says it was a sharp rock, so it was like pointy things like that. So therefore, it's impossible. We're talking about all his assets being on top of this rock because it couldn't stay there; it will fall off. Okay, so we're saying that he purchased some rock face, if you like. And what did he do? Halakha selacha bitzak on the side of Yerushalayim. Amar chetz yatzvoni, the northern half. Ani noten leploni. I'm giving to so-and-so. Im along with my mea chaviot yain, with my 100 barrels of wine. Well, it's not, they can see quite clearly in this situation, it's not physically on it. Rather, it is going agav with it, even though it's not physically there. And chetz yor, in the second half, ani noten leploni, I'm giving to with somebody else with another 100 barrels of shemen. Mea chaviot shel shemen. Obama said that actually works. So that seems to be a really solid proof here that it was a king in Aga. So Gemara says, Amar Chanina, Kamei Rav Mana. One second, how can you bring a proof in this situation? What's this case talking about? It's talking about a Shchiv Merah, someone who's on his deathbed. And we have many leniencies with a Shchiv Merah based on the fact, again, if you remember, just simply, we'll see in a moment what we're going to say, but the leniencies we have is we're sorry we're concerned that the person's in a compromised situation. And we don't want this stress to, you know, kill him. So therefore, there's a lot of leniencies in terms of where acquisitions can occur with a shchiv merah. So how so? Levisha b'kol makom en adam hazakeh ala dichtav. Normally, you'd have to write something down to form a contract. But kind of feel the rami. Even the verbal declaration would be enough to transfer ownership. Levisha b'kol makom en adam hazakeh ad shu karko mataltim b'makad. So maybe so too here. Normally, if you want a kinyan agav, karka has to be on the karka. So maybe this is just simply another leniency afforded in a situation of shchimera. But can I feel a karka? Mekom echad, mekom mekom echad. Acher, sorry, mekom acher. So you can't bring a necessarily bring a proof. The Gemara says, "What are you talking about, Amar Leah? Who's in this story that gave the advice? It was Rebbe Eliezer, nachon." If we go back, because Amar Lem Rebbe Eliezer Maisa, he brought this incident, this Masa, this incident. And if you remember, what the Gemara is saying, Shnia Shchiv Merad Rebbe Eliezer, who Shchiv Merad Ramana. Isn't this the way the Korban Eder says? This is like a Lashon Tmiya. Is the Shchiv Merah of Rebbe Lazar different from that of Chachamim, meaning Eliezer, sorry. So Amalei, he says, yes, actually, because Shchiv Merah to Rebbe Eliezer is Kabari de Rabbanan, which means that Rebbe Eliezer treats a Shchiv Merah with no leniencies. He treats him like a healthy person for Chachamim, like the Kodesh Chachamim, sorry. So therefore, if that's the case, the fact that we say by Rebbe Eliezer in this situation that the Shchiv Merah can do a kinyan agav karka when the metaltin aren't physically on that karka, must mean, according to Chachamim, that it could work for even someone who is healthy. Okay, that's how we're working it out. Okay, the flow of the sukkah is slightly different to the Ridbaz, meaning the way the Ridbaz explains it, when it says shnia, he doesn't say betmia. Shmia says, well, he says, well, maybe actually that Rebbe Eliezer, even according to Rebbe Eliezer, there is a, despite the fact it has a higher requirement of a shchiv merah, he needs to actual physical kinyan to transfer property, it doesn't need a kinyan gamur. So leniency in the Gemara includes no, actually, the shchiv merah of Rebbe Lazar is equivalent to a bari of Rabbanah. That's how Ridbaz explains the flow here. Okay, Gemara says, Tamantaninan, I think we try now bring a proof from a different Mishnah. It says, Karka kol shul chay bepeah, even the smallest amounts of land. Now, these are Mishnayot, I think we've seen in the past in Peah, that talk about what the halachas that comply even to the smallest amount of land. So even the smallest amount of land can be chayv and peah and bikurim, and it mentions other things in that as well. Another thing, one of the other things it mentions there in that Mishnah is liknyot iman nechasim she'em ne'archot bekesev shtar chazaka, which seems to suggest that you can do a kinyan agav even with a karka kol shul. So that's the Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says karka kol shul ma'utav. What use is there for a kinyan something so small block of land, to do a kinyan agav, or also if you like for peah? Well, even the smallest amount of peah bikurim, you could use that for one, like stalk that's coming out of it, and you could even say that it ha you could. You know, just don't bring a proof necessarily from this Mishnah, because the kinyan agav that you're trying to do might be referring to where you put a gem on there, a very expensive gem on that karka kol shul. So that kinyan agav in that situation might actually, you could still say that you're chayiv to have it physically, sorry, chayiv, if you want to do kinyan agav with metaltolin, it has to be physically on that piece of land. And what does it mean, karka kol shul? We're dealing with something very small and precious you're putting on that piece of land. So, in other words, you don't necessarily bring a proof from this case. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Galil. Let's say you got two pieces of land in two different locations in Eretz Israel. Hichzik bezu shebi'Yehuda, shebagalil. Let's say you do a chazak on one to purchase it. The Korban says you're purchasing it and another one as well. Or shebagalil is a copy of Yehuda, kana, it would work. So, in other words, we saw this previously as well, that you can purchase multiple pieces of land through one chazak on one of them, even though there's a great distance between the two pieces of land. However, that's not necessarily the case for Nichsei Hager. Why? Nichsei Hager lo kana afilu meitzar bentayim. Let's say even the two pieces of land are next to each other, but there's a meitzar. Now, the way the Korma explained a meitzar is it's like a it's a border, if you like, between the two lands that were either raised or lowered. Okay? So that would be enough for Nichsei Hager to, if you're doing chazak on one, you can't do chazak on the other. It wouldn't work for the other. Okay? So why would that be? Well, when it comes to Nichsei Hager, I think the way the Sfari we have to apply here is that you don't have someone who's being maknet. So again, what are we talking about Nichsei Hager? Let me just explain once again. They're referring to a ger that passed away without any yorshim. So the property is completely hefker, and whoever comes to seize it, seizes it. So we're saying Nichsei Hager, if someone seizes one land, even if the ger owned two pieces of land that were next to each other, but there was some sort of meitzar between them, he would only require one of them. Okay. But again, we saw in previous case, so when it comes to purchasing for another person, you can even on two sides of Eretz Yisrael, it would work. Rav Zira bar Kamei Rav Yose, nitkaven, what happens if you wanted to acquire liknot min ha-meitzar itself? The sharim minei. Now, sharim minei is two explanations I saw here. One is, Korban Mipnei Moshe says, and below it, meaning if you wanted to, he was doing chazaka on the meitzar, do we say in that situation it would acquire on the side of it as well, or just the meitzar? And left as a question, v'shari minei, another explanation that I saw quoted is the Mara Fulda, sorry. We'll get to the Mitzvah Shem Bava Batra. And the meaning, he lo anai, he didn't answer. In other words, it seemed to be a question in terms of what happens if he was machzik by the Meitzar itself, and it's left it as a question. Okay, now let's continue with our discussion of the Nichsei Hager, meaning the Ger, person who converted, died, he has no children. So the Gemara says, Amar Avchista, Nichsei Hager shechzik betzvonan, almanat lezakot bedroman, bedroman almanat lezakot betzvonam, lo nitkaven leknot beemtzim. Let's say there was some property of a ger, and the person was machzik on the south side, wanting to purchase the north side, but the middle strip he had no interest in. Okay, lo kana, he didn't acquire it, ad shi'ad shachit kaven leknot beemtzitan, unless he had an intention to purchase also the middle part. And the Gemara says, Manita, please, that seems to be against Rav Chista. Why? Because a ger shemet ubizbezu Israel and nechasav. So a ger passed away, and some another Israel come to see take his property. Hichzik bekarka, chayv bakol. If he is takes does a chazak on the land, so he starts plowing through it or something, does a chazak, then he is chayv bakol. Explain what chayv bakol is. All the matanot that are associated with the land. We'll discuss this in a minute. Machzik b'kama, what if he only did a chazaka on the kama? He had no interest in the land, but he only wanted the produce from that land. In that situation, he's chayv b'leket shichan peh, he's chayv for those matanot. I think we discussed this in the past. So leket, the stalks that fell, the shichan leaves bundles in the field, and the peah, because the chiyuv for those things are mikama. Well, Pato mina Maaserot. He's exempt from Maaserot. Why? Because the land was Hefker. And the land is still Hefker. Fine. So the Gemara says, but one second, if you're Machzeh Bekama, the Gemara says, Ve'ein avir mafsik ben shibolet leshibolet. So if you're trying to say when it comes to land and there's a space between them, you're Machzeh one, you're not Machzeh in the other. If you're interested in only purchasing the Kama, you would have to literally do a Chazak on every single stalk. But the Gemara, this Mishnah doesn't seem to suggest that's the case. It says if you're Machzeh Kama, meaning it seems to be even one of the things standing wheat, then you've got all the Kama, and you're Chayiv Lekesh Hapeah, not Maaserot. Okay, so this seems to be a kasha. Now, what's interesting here is, so it's a kasha on what's said on Rav Chista, or seems to, sorry, go against what Rav Chista said. Because Rav Chista says, if you're machzik on one side of the field, and you also want to purchase want to acquire the other side of the field, but not the strip in the middle, which is avir space, then it wouldn't work. Okay, and here we've got, you're taking some say, stalks or something, and there's avir between them, and since it does work. So avir and oinus, it's not a problem. Now, just to be careful here, the Sha'arei Korban points out that it's different to the case when there's a meitzar in between them. Because the meitzar is like a proper dividing piece, if you know. It's not just avir. It's a raised or lowered strip of land that separates between the two fields. So there's no question there that if you're machzik in one, you don't get the other. Okay, so I'm dividing it. Our question is if there's nothing substantial in between, just your intention not to take some of the space in between. That's what it seems to be. That shouldn't be such a problem. Okay. Tamantaninan. Let's say, it was attached to the ground, and it was tolesh kolshuhu, meaning this is the produce, and he wanted only one of them, he would kana all the talush. Oh, sorry, all the mechubar lakaka, all the peirot. Shmuel says, lo kana lech kalech bilvad. Shmuel says, you only get the one stalk. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Vatan im mechubar lakaka, v'talash kol shul kana, he gets them all. So Amar Rav Yosef, kayemi Rav Avudama, v'nachuta, mode Shmuel b'nichzei hager. He agrees with nichzei hager. Now, what does this even mean, nichzei hager? So there seems to be a difference between a general acquisition and trying to see this problem in Nechzei Ager, whether Avir Ben Taim is problematic or not. So if you have a look at the Korban Eda, Pnei Moshe explains it differently. So the Korban Eda says, Kaimei Pirsha Rav Avduma min Nechota, Hach Manita ben Nechzei Ager, Demanya Filu Rafak Bapurta. Even just taking a little bit works for Nechzei Ager. Mahani Nami also Tlisha Kol Shehu. That since Benichzei Ager, all you have to do is a little bit of rafak, sort of like digging around a little bit. Therefore, Tlisha culture would work for everything. Ushmuel, and Shmuel's problem is when you're trying to do a kinyan from somebody else. That's where if you're just taking one, it won't help you. Shmuel, Mayer Bekone Mechaverol, therefore, the spacing problem would be problematic. Okay? The Pnei Moshe explains this completely differently, the opposite. I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe. He says, when it's not kala, that's when only that kelach, that's benichse hager. That's when purchasing this. Desferli, he holds like Rav Chista, despite the fact we brought a kasher on it. Kevin davir, because of mefsik ben taim, be'emtza lo kana. But when you're purchasing for somebody else, then the avir ben taim is not a problem. So it's an opposite thing. So you can see the svara lekan lekan. Meaning, you can see the svara of the Pnei Moshe's understanding is because again, if it's from Hefker, maybe Avir isn't pertains a problem. But if someone's makne it to you, then you've got the dat makne kone is giving over the whole amount, so you can take a little bit Avir pertains not a problem. Okay. However, you can also stand the side of the Korban Eda because all Rav Chista's shita that space ben time is a problem in Nechzei Ager was came into conflict with a matnita. And it might be that because when it comes to Nichzei Ager, it's more lenient in terms of how it's easier to make an acquisition, Rafak Porta. That's why Avir Ben Taim is not a problem, where if you purchase somebody else, it might be a problem. So you can see this as far as Lakan Lakan. Okay, fine. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Baye, Mametaltli Maushik Begreira. So you're doing Meshicha, but you're dragging something on the ground for Metaltli, for new objects that I could be picking up. Okay, is that a good enough acquisition? So Amar Abba, Matzrichali, what's the problem? If it's Be'orot Kashim, Abba brought Arachim Lokana Ad Shigba. So what's it been Rachim and Kashim? He says the whole question is by Orot Kashim, She'ein Dar Kambag Ba'ab, that normally you wouldn't pick it up. So observe what I just said. When it comes to, however, Barachim, but if it's a soft leather, so fresh, I guess, or soft leather, I'm not sure what's fresh or not, but if it's soft, Dar Kambag Ba'ab, since it's its way to lift it up, then you'd have to do Hagbah. So it sounds like things that's the derech to lift it up, well, then Hagbah, you'd have to use Hagbah. You have to lift it up. But the question is, what about dragging other things out? okay, like a kash, like orot kashim. Can dragging it along the ground, is that enough to do an acquisition? So many of the pligi are baba mamal. He says hagonev kiso, I've got a kach on you because hagonev kiso shel chaveiro. Because you're saying when it comes to again things that are hakba agpagba ara baba mamal says you must do agba. The question must be only regarding other things. But we've got a kasha on that because we're going to see that certain things that seem to appear that you could have lifted it up. It's derech ba'agba, and it seems to be acquisition if you drag it. So what's the case? Rav Baba Mamal agonev kiso shel chaverol ve'otzio b'shabbos and takes it on Shabbos chayev. Now the problem is, why? Because nikal b'nei vato shel kis ad shelo kitcha la'avet Shabbos. Now the issue is, you cannot be chayev. Let's say two an action that has two simultaneous punishments. What happens normally is you'd only be chayav on the harsher of the two punishments. Okay, so if what the Mishnah is saying now, if someone stole someone's object, went to the property and did hagbah, picked it up, he's already acquired it. He's chayav to pay the owner, and then takes it out into Rishus HaRabim, thereby stealing it. Well, that situation, the chiyuv mita came after, so it doesn't matter. He still has to pay. However, im haya gorer bo. If he dragged it out of the property, so he hasn't, by dragging something someone else's property, you haven't done a kinyan. Again, Mashiach only works if you take it out of their property. But if he, as soon as he takes it out of the property, is at the same time he's been godev, he's stolen it, and he is chayev b'gayin ten rishus rabim on Shabbos. Because both punishments come simultaneously, and chiyuv mitzvah is much more chamor, he wouldn't be obligated to pay back. I mean, he's got bigger concerns, really, but he doesn't have to pay back. So Gemara says, once again, ha im lo chala alav mita v'tashlum chayev. That if it's not chal at the same time, then it'd be chayev, right? Fine. The Gemara says, but you see quite clearly here just read the Korban. He says, v'tashlum afilu ne'evad v'ne'enas amai. Why should it be chayev? He's saying. Ha afilu chol lo kanano de kis barak ba'u velo kanah b'mishicha kmo orot arachim l'rav ba'bar mamal. He's saying, but one second. Let's say theoretically, the Gemara is saying now. Let's say theoretically somehow the two kinyanim, the two chiyuvim wouldn't have been at the same time. I don't know. Let's say for some reason the kinyan, as soon as you pull the bag out, you dragged out. You it would be like sorry. As soon as you drag the bag out, it's Gnev has occurred, but you're in Chayiv Shabbos another 2 steps later, something like that. Then it seems to be you would be Chayiv. The Gemara said, but what are you talking about? Isn't a bag, like a backpack or something like that, something that's Derech Hagba'ah? And according to your Shitta, dragging it out shouldn't be considered a Kinyan. So the Gemara says, Tiftar be'inin kisayah rav revaya de'or cheil be'mitgarara. He says, no, that Mishnah must be talking about some sort of very big sack. That it is the way to drag those things along and not something small. Okay. I'm going to ask the next question on our Mishnah. Minayin legil gushvo. Where do we see the concept of, as we saw, that by metaltlin you can have a shvua, meaning one party can obligate another to a shvua. By karka you cannot. But if you're already making medua shvua regarding metaltlin, you can do a megalgal, you can fold into that shvua and make a shvua regarding other things as well. This wouldn't be chayav to make, for example, karka. That was the thing we saw in the Mishnah. So where do we see this concept from? We say we see it from Sota, Misota. V'amri Shah Amen Amen. Now, why does Isha say Amen twice? Amen mi'ish zeh, Amen mi'ish acher. Oh, you see a Megalgal Yeshvua, not only this relationship, but maybe another relationship as well. Meaning another relationship, you know, that she may have an affair with somebody else that he'd shalokin alav, that he'd never wonder about. But he's able to lump into this Shvua of this Isha Sota, to also swear she had an affair with anybody else as well. So just to make it clear, if you remember the sota, how does the sota even work? That's when a man notices a woman's been overly friendly with another individual. So he warns his wife of being seclusion with that individual specifically. That's kinui. Then she's witness in seclusion with that individual. So you can't, and it's only then. And we don't know if anything happened there. It's only then that we can take to the base of Mikdash. You can't just be in random suspicion, take your wife to the base of Mikdash and make her drink Meisota. No, it's only against pre-warning and the witness and seclusion, etc. But we find for the Gilgul Shvua that you're able to, if you like, warn her regarding other people as well that need to make a kinui. So Gemara says, Ad kadun dvarim shem ruim lishavah, dvarim she'en ruim lashbia. But so Rav Speer says, okay, that Gilgul Shvuah is regarding something that you could make a Shvuah. For example, if he this person number two, he did a kinui for him, then you would make a Shvuah. But our question is regarding Gilgul Shvuah, things that don't fit into this parsha of Shvuot. Karka. So Amar Rav Yosef Bar Bo Nesh Minad, you can learn from the following. Amar La Shelo Satiti Arusa V'Nisua Shomeret Yabam V'Knusa. So this is interesting. What it's saying, you conclude in the Shvuah also regarding she wouldn't have a ferret to when she was an Arusa and a Shomeret Yabam. So Gemara says Arusa V'Shomer Ra'ui La'Shpia. It says when it comes to Arusa, that is not in the parasha of Sota. So it's not Ra'ui La'Shpia, but nonetheless it can be part of the Gilgul Shvuah of Sota. So just to explain this, read the Korban Eder because it's important. He says, "But mi asharei arusa v'shmuret yabam lo shotot." They wouldn't drink meisota normally. If again a husband, what's the case? Kedat nanatam ela keshikina. Let's say he's arusa. He did kinui for her, kinui la keshi arusa, and can he mash? But and then he gets married, and the witness come along and say, "Oh, she was in seclusion with this individual during the arusin time." Can he take it to base? Base. I mean, Dash Gemara says absolutely no. Mi bega mi bat kein lemaya. The meisota wouldn't work. Daha ein baal menukah malvon. If you remember, we say that only if he's innocent would the meisota work. So he's not completely innocent because shaloi yahavalelis. He shouldn't marry her. Because what's he doing marrying a woman that is noticed that she's being parutz with other individuals during engagement? So that's already somewhat incriminating that it wouldn't work. Inami, alternative, kivan shebashat hashka yodea sheba aleya beisur. Alternatively, because they got married at the end of the day, and that was having relations with beisur. If she's concerned, she's a sota. Inu makam avon karina be. There's not makam avon. So again, that's two ways of understanding. So, but the point is, an arusa is not really possible to do ever give be in the parsha of meisota. Nonetheless, you can bring that any relationship during time of erusin through Gilgul Shvuah. So you can see Gilgul Shvuah even works for things that aren't, you wouldn't be able to make a mashpia love. Beautiful. That works that works very nicely. We're learning from Sota the concept of Gilgul Shvuah. The Gemara says, "It tani tani ma zil ba'ala ushvuah av kol anish bin ba'ala ushvuah." Some people say that just as meisota is not only with a shvuah, you also apply a curse. So to any time you have a shvuah, we learn from sota that it's also a curse as well. Kol nishban ba'alav shvuah. However, Tani says no, bazu alav shvuah ve'in kol nishban ba'alav shvuah. No, it's only meisota you have a curse and not a shvuah. The Gemara asks the question now. V'havu ba'im meimar man da'amar ma'zeh ba'alav shvuah af kol nishban ba'alav shvuah. Then it's nicha, makes a lot of sense. If you say we learn everything from meisota or the parasha sota, then everything makes sense for our case as well. You can learn concept of Gilgul Shvuah more broadly. However, Manda Amar, it says you actually don't learn. In other words, Manda Amar Zubala Shvuah ve'in konesh min balav Shvuah legil. In other words, that we don't learn everything from parasha sota. We don't learn that you apply a curse when you make someone make a shvuah. It says legilgul at lamad v'shvuah ein at lamad. It's asking, one second, how you're being now very selective then of what you're extracting and pulling out from sota. Why are you choosing gilgul and not choosing also the concept of Allah? It seems to be partial. Okay, that's the kasha left as a kasha, because why bring another kasha? I'll just read a bit more. Itani tani ma zu ba amen va amen af kol nishmi amen va amen. This double language of amen va amen, we also the some people there's some say some teach that that you have to say amen amen for all shvuot. Itani tani says no, amen va amen is a special declaration by sota and ein kol nishmi amen va amen, but not other shvuot. You don't have to say amen the amen. So the Gemara now says, well, same flow. Havu by Meir Amanda Amar Mazir Amen Vamein Af Konish Bim Vamein Vamein. The Shita that says we learn many laws from Sota, meaning not just well, in this situation we learn more broadly. You have to the declaration of Amen Vamein applies to Shvuot. Nichat makes a lot of sense. Av Amanda Amar Amen Vamein Ve'ena Konish Vamein Vamein Vamein. But according to the Shita that says no, Amen Vamein is unique to Sota and that doesn't apply more broadly. Which means we're not learning more laws out of Sota more broadly to Shvuah. Then klum laman gilgul Shvuah el misota legilgul at lamed lamed aveni at lamed. He says, "What are you doing? Because you're trying to build out, use Sota, if you like, as a proto as the model for Shvuot. But you're not learning everything. So how are you picking and choosing here? How you say, okay, we can learn Gilgul Shvuah from Sotah, but you're not learning Amen V'Amen. Same question as I had before, same flow, and it also is still left without an answer. All right, have a good Shabbos, everyone.